One of the really great icons in the life of the church today, I think, is Archbishop, soon to be Cardinal, Timothy Dolan, making his way up the aisle of St. Patrick's Cathedral to commence Mass. Here's Archbishop Dolan now with the people thundering the opening hymn, and he's thumping his Episcopal crozier on the floor. He is beaming at all and sundry. He's kissing babies. He's embracing men, women, children. He is just spreading good cheer in every direction as he walks up the aisle. Now, I would say you'd have to be either catatonic or positively Scroogean in temperament not to find this scene utterly delightful. And it's much more than a good PR. It's what makes Timothy Dolan, I think, arguably, the most effective evangelist in the American church today. Now, here's the thing. Archbishop Dolan is a very intelligent man. The study of American Catholic Church history being his major area of interest, and his intelligence is in everything he says and does. It's very clear. But he knows a great secret. The secret is the most effective way to evangelize is to share the contagious joy of being a friend of Jesus Christ. That's the opening move. That's the best step. And the image of him walking up the aisle at St. Patrick's, to me, sums that up. Look in the first chapter of John's Gospel. You'll find this wonderful scene where two of the disciples of John the Baptist begin to follow Jesus. Right? And then he turns on them and says, well, what are you seeking? And they say, Lord, where do you stay? Then they stay with him. They're in close company with him. They commence their friendship with Jesus. And then we hear, right away, immediately, they declare, we found the Messiah. Andrew, in fact, brings his brother Peter to Jesus. We found the Messiah. Notice in that little scene now, the rhythm of all good evangelization. It begins with friendship with the Lord. It begins with this intimacy with him, which leads to joy, which then leads to the desire to share that joy. That's the right rhythm. The friendship and the joy come first, and then the desire to share it. Now, let me shift from the Gospel of John to the greatest theological masterpiece in our tradition, namely the Summa Theologiae of Thomas Aquinas. The massive second part of the Summa deals with what we call today ethics, or morality, right? The question of how do you live your life? Now, here's the interesting thing. This huge, long treatise begins with joy. What Thomas calls beatitudo in his Latin. It just means joy. The ethical life does not begin with law. It begins with happiness. What is it that makes us happy? After dismissing wealth, pleasure, power, and honor, though they're good things, but Thomas dismisses them as our ultimate joy. He says our ultimate joy is found only in God. Because of our infinite hunger, it's only the infinite good of God that will satisfy us. God is our joy. Then, in the second part of the Summa, he moves into the habits and virtues. That means these various moves that will inculcate in us the right tendency toward our ultimate good. Then, in question 90, he finally gets to law. And see, thereupon hangs a tale. He doesn't begin with law. Right, wrong. Do this, don't do that. Doesn't begin with that. He begins with joy. Then the habits and virtues that inculcate joy. And then finally, the laws that help you inculcate the habits and virtues, which in turn produce joy. Getting that backward is a large part of the problem. When you begin ethics with law, you tend to turn people off. You tend to skew the project. Rather, begin with joy, and then you get eventually to the law. Now, let me go from the Gospel of John, Thomas Aquinas, and now to the church of the 1970s, 1980s of the last century, the church that I grew up in. I would say this was a church preoccupied with the law. Now, here's what I mean. Whether you were on the left or the right, Catholics of that period were very interested in questions of especially sexual morality. Whether you wanted to defend the sexual morality of the church or change it, there was tremendous concentration on ethics. When I was coming of age, it was a church often bickering with itself about sexual law. What that produced, I would say, what it presented to the world was a very disedifying and very uncompelling face. Now, I'm not saying for a second that the people who entertained these questions were anything less than serious and good people. I'm not saying for a second the questions aren't interesting. What I am saying is this. When you lead with them, you tend not to be evangelically compelling. And if you want to see proof of it, the number of people in my generation, so we who came of age in that church, the number of Catholics who drifted away either to another Christian denomination or, what's much more likely, into a bland secularism. Because the church fussing with itself about ethics is not an evangelically compelling church. I know I use these sports analogies maybe too much, but think of baseball. You begin with the exuberance of the game. You begin with the sheer fun of playing baseball. And you want to draw a young person into that. Right? Once they're into the exuberance of the game, they will naturally begin to ask, what makes that possible? How do you turn that double play? How exactly do you hit that curveball? How do you throw a curveball? What's the best way to play shortstop? How do you charge a bunt properly? It's the exuberance of the game, the joy of it, that leads you then naturally to say, what are the moves and the laws that I should put in my body that make this game possible? That's the right rhythm. You don't begin by talking to people about the rules and practical demands of baseball. You begin with the fun of the game. See? Same is true, it seems to me, in the area of religion, of evangelization. Begin with joy, and then people will naturally begin to ask, what do I do to inculcate that joy? You know? So here's where someone like John Paul II got this right, you know? Deeply interested in sexual morality. That was his academic focus. Theology of the body, all that. But where did John Paul begin? He always began with intimacy with Christ. He began with a friendship with Jesus Christ. And then, boy, if you want to live that friendship as radically as you can at every level of your life, now, here are the demands of the moral life. First the joy, then the ethics. So, let me go back as I close to the opening image of soon-to-be Cardinal Dolan walking up the aisle. That's good evangelization. Begin with that. Begin with him. Begin with contagious joy. Let someone be drawn into the sheer exuberance of his embrace of the Christian life. And then see, I would wager that person will ask soon enough, how did he get that way? What makes him so joyful? And then you say, look, let me tell you. Now let me give you the habits, the virtues, the laws that will inculcate in you the dispositions to joy that you found in him. But see, the evangelical strategy is first the joy, then the ethics. When we get that right, we get a lot of things right.